This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening and welcome everyone to Access All Areas with a bit of a change to our normal proceedings today because we have a brand new presenter in instead of Lizzie, who is gallivanting with Bruno Tognoli, I believe. Is that right? Yes. Welcome, Ellie Phillips.
Hi. Thank
Hello.
You so much for having me. What a pleasure.
How are you?
I'm really good, actually. Yeah, just back off a holiday, back into the swing of things in London town.
Gorge.
I'm very excited to be here, actually. First time on FUBAR Radio, so yeah.
Well, we're very excited to have you. Thank you for coming in last minute, because as ever, Lizzie doesn't know her schedule until minutes before she's going on air. No, really appreciate you coming
in. Anytime, of course.
And we were just having a little chat outside, weren't we? We've worked some similar places. We know some similar people. Very interesting conversation.
Well,
we have an exciting show coming up. Do you want to?
We do. We've got fantastic guests. So we're going to have a quick phoner with Dean Ralph. If you're a fan of Towie, you're going to love that one. Mm-hmm. He was dropped from the show, let's put it that way, in September under kind of, you know, unrevealed circumstances as yet. He was also on X on the Beach as well. He's pretty hot. All the girls love him. So that'll be an interesting one. Mm-hmm. As well as that, we've got Jean Johansson, who's fantastic. She's absolutely gorgeous. Just presenter. She gets to travel all around the world with her new job, which makes me incredibly jealous. Yeah, so she's going going to be popping in to see us. And as well as that, we've got Aaron Sidwell, probably best known from being in EastEnders, but he's also a star of stage as well. So we're going to have a packed show today.
Busy show, yes. Yeah. We tend to pack them in here at Access All Areas. it should be a good one. But there has been some good showbiz news this week. I don't know if you've been keeping abreast of it.
I have jetted back into everything going on.
Yes. I don't know if you saw the front page of, I think it was The Sun. There's been some big dramas regarding Jack Fincham from Love Island this week, who seemingly out of nowhere admitted to taking cocaine just this one time at a party.
There never happened to be any photographs at all of this, no.
Yes. What do you make of it? Because I have to say, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that much, but perhaps some people would be surprised that it's so readily available.
I think maybe people are surprised it's readily available, but I think probably the biggest shocker is that he got caught so early on, perhaps.
Right, yeah.
Or that he kind of got wrapped up in that so quickly, if it's something that is very new to him.
That's
either way,
true.
I think it's soon, it's early.
Yeah, because what is he, 6 months into being famous?
Yeah, I think so.
If that, maybe a little bit more,
exactly.
I'm not sure. But apparently his potential future father-in-law, Danny Dyer, is not too impressed.
Yeah, wants to have a word, doesn't he?
Well, as you would.
I'd
right?
be so terrified.
I mean, if there's someone you don't want to piss off, it's Danny Dyer.
Literally Danny Dyer.
He had a bit of an interesting story, I don't know if you saw today, about saying he had a crack cocaine addiction.
So I vaguely saw this.
Yeah, so he was basically saying years ago he was near suicide because of his horrendous, I mean, it's all coming out the woodwork,
everything,
isn't it?
All in one go.
But it's not all you know, sad drug stories this week. I don't know if you've have you been watching Dancing on Ice?
I've seen bits and bobs. I actually was away for quite a while.
Fine. That's all right. That's all right. But I'm sure you've heard about Gemma Collins and the drama
the
going
GC
on with her.
Taken over.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, right? There's been I'm not her biggest fan.
Oh.
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I like the GC.
I've interviewed her a few times and it was always a disaster.
Oh. How
is
so?
Is yours been different?
I just think she knows how to play it. I think she knows how to work it. I think she's always got, when you think she's outdone herself, she manages to just
there's
come up
something
with something
else.
New.
Yes.
And I think that's really, like, fair play to her. Do you know what I mean? I think she knows how to play the game, I find interesting.
Yeah, and I think she's obviously knows how to make people talk about her.
Exactly.
So she's apparently lost a little bit of weight doing Dancing on Ice. Apparently two whole stone.
I did see some pictures, not even that recently. I want to say, like, before Christmas, of her in a black gown with Arj, and she did look really good.
I think it was at the NTAs.
Yeah, definitely, because I was away.
Yeah.
So maybe ice skating's way forward.
Maybe we all need to get on the ice rink.
Sack the gym off. Get down the local ice rink.
Well, I mean, I would rather go on I'm a Celebrity and eat bugs than go on an ice rink, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, horrendous.
Like, what, lack of coordination?
I'm just mortifying. Lizzie and I went to the opening of the ice rink at the National History Museum last year. She was like, come down, we'll have some photographs taken. And I was like, okay, cool. Literally the second that there was someone, a Dancing on Ice professional, she ditched me to go skating around with him. Yeah. And I was just left there like a complete plum.
Oh, no. Can she skate? Is she good?
She had a penguin to lean on. Yeah. So I would say not really. But, you know, it's all part of her thing. Part of her thing, yeah. I would, yeah, no, not for me, I don't think.
But the GC, she's had a psychic or someone come to the Dancing on Ice studio to cleanse the auras.
The bad feelings.
To cleanse the bad feelings and get rid of the dodgy chakras and stuff, apparently.
Probably understandable.
I mean.
But if she's causing all the bad feelings, that's my theory.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think she's mean. I mean, my couple of times I've met her, I've interviewed her in a professional capacity as a journalist, and she's just been bit mean and a bit nasty. She I don't know if you ever read that interview in Now magazine she did about the book.
Yeah.
She's going, babe, have you read the book? And they were like, no, we weren't actually sent it, Gemma, and it's not out for publication. Well, if you'd read the book. And you're like, well, how are they supposed to read the bloody book if they haven't been
sent it?
And I just find that kind of attitude unnecessary.
Yeah, it is unnecessary. I just think that I just find her fascinating. I think that's the overwhelming thing, that I don't. People can be bad, but then if she's rude to someone, it will make the press and we'll hear about it. And
yeah,
she
true.
Kind of owns it. And I quite like that about her.
It works for her, I understand. Yeah. I would just rather, I don't know.
Less GC.
I would rather see less of her on my television.
But to be honest,
she's on every reality show.
I do think she's been great for Dancing on Ice, though, because her and, I'd say, Wes Nelson are the reason that people are talking, if not maybe turning in more than they would have done.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously that's been good for Dancing on Ice. I don't know how I would feel if I was one of the other celebrities on the show who feel like I'd be completely overshadowed.
But then they need to step their game up.
True.
That's my opinion. It's like, you're on that reality show, you want to get noticed, you want to get heard.
Yeah.
Cause some mayhem.
But if you're a Brian McFadden or a Sara Alto, you've got a career kind of in the background, right?
I see what you mean.
You don't necessarily want to be like,
Diva.com.
Oh, suddenly I'm a complete knobhead. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've got to be liked.
Yeah.
Well, then you need to be inventive and come up with ways to, you
True.
Know, do nice things and be liked still.
I say, sell bitchy stories about Gemma Collins. That's what I would suggest. Okay, so shall we play a little song perhaps get our first guest, Dean, onto the phone? We're going to actually play a bit of Stacey Jackson, who was on our show last week, and this is her new single, I Just Want to Dance. Stacey Jackson, into it.
I'm loving it.
We have our first guest on the phone. Hello, Dean. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, good. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
How have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been good. Busy coming off the back of the show. I'm an electrician, so... Go on, sorry.
You finished. You came off the show last year, right? Explain a bit about what happened.
Last series?
Yeah, well, no. So what, you came, am I right? You came off the show last year?
Yep.
Yeah, so what happened then and what have you been doing since?
Last series was quite a quiet one, to be honest. They had a lot going on last series, so the airtime wasn't great, but it's just one of them things, it happens. since then, I've opened up my own PR company. It's called R&R PR Management and Agency.
Right.
And I am currently in the process of opening up my own club.
Oh, okay.
So, ooh, fancy.
Yeah, that's something that I'm really focusing on at the minute. There's nothing actually set in stone yet, but we've got the ball rolling. So hopefully, early on this part of the year, we will have that open. So yeah, it's been quite busy, to be honest.
Obviously, Towie stars are quite renowned for going to clubs. So is this an area you feel like you're a bit of an expert in?
Well, that's it. See, I've got a lot of people that I can lean on to promote the club and come down, obviously. And yeah, like you said, if we're doing PAs and stuff like that, we do a lot of filming in clubs. It's an avenue that I feel that I can progress in. So hopefully it all goes well, yeah.
Hmm. What have you... Yeah, so other than that, what have you kind of made of the recent stories about... there seems to have been a lot of the Towie cast have been axed.
Beautiful.
Is that... Yeah. What do you make of that?
I wouldn't say a lot have been axed.
You were at the press was.
what I found last series was, this is why I think it was quite a slow one last series, a lot of people were venturing off and doing their own thing. Like a few of the girls, they found love off the show. Like the other few people, they've sort of, I think they've had their fair share of like people putting their 10 pence worth in their relationship. So I think you find a lot of people are starting to sort of veer away from reality TV in general. And to be honest with you, I think what Towie are trying to do, because it's been going for so long, and a lot of the original cast members, you pretty much know the ins and outs of their life already. Nothing's really going to change too much. So I think they're trying to revamp it, bring new cast members in, sort of like bring it to life again. And I think that's what you found. Like people are getting the elbow, or people are venturing off, or people like trying to focus on their own life and their career. Listen, to be honest with you, I think it's a great thing. I think it's going to give the viewers something to look forward to, and maybe spice things up a little bit. Yeah, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, because I think there has been some criticism of it in recent years. It seems to have suddenly it's a bit more staged than maybe it used to be.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Do you know what it is? Like you said, there becomes a point where it's just like, okay, what more can we show to your life? Like, what more can you bring? No one lives like this extreme lifestyle that people are interested in day in, day out. But you've got to bear in mind, it's every week. So I think people start to struggle to find stuff that people are going to relate to and be interested in.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I mean, it happens on like all TV shows. It sort of dries up a little bit. So yeah, I can understand why viewers may think that, and maybe the producer took that bomb.
Dean, I think I've lost you. You can hear you, Ellie.
I got him.
Okay,
it's
you're back. No, you're back. We just had a little temporary problem there. Yeah,
I'm back in the room.
You're back in the room. Yeah. So obviously, will you still be watching it this year?
Yeah, but I'll definitely be watching it. I mean, I'm more intrigued than ever now because I'm looking forward to what they're going to bring to the table, what they're going to do. So yeah, I'll still be watching it. The door's not closed. Yeah,
is
so
it not?
Watch this series.
Okay.
No. I spoke to the producers the other day, and they said, like they loved me, that like they loved the way I was, and that. But I get how it works. Like, there's too many cast members. It's only an hour a week. They're trying to cram all that into one episode. It was getting hard, and it was hard. It's not fair because you film a week, and then come the end of the week on a Sunday, you watch the show, and you've got like a couple of minutes, and you think, well, hold on, what's happened? But it's because they've got so much going on. So yeah, there's no bridges burned. They said to me once the show starts getting back on its own feet again, maybe there'll be a doorway for me in again, obviously with a club and that. They seem interested in that. So, like, that bridge is not burnt, definitely
so,
not.
So what led you to actually speaking to the producers in the first place? Because this was only a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're always in contact with you, like, especially even when the show's on. You'll have a phone call after the show on a Sunday, and then you get a phone call on a Friday for an update, what's happened during the week, and then you'll get a phone call on a Monday after the show. What did you think of the show? What did you think of the episode? They want your opinions. They want you to give an opinion on the show. So you're always in contact with them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and they just keep you up to date, and then you keep them up to date with any news you've got, and that's how it works, really. That's how the storylines come about.
What do you make of...
That actually happens in real life.
Yeah, of course, and that's what makes Towie good, right, I think. But maybe sometimes people had been overthinking their storylines, perhaps, and that was what viewers are maybe getting a bit... wise to. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, a lot of people think it is like 100% staged. It's not staged. Basically, what will happen is it's something that happens during the week. Say there's a boy and a girl and they hit it off or something in a club during the week. When you speak to the producers and the cast team later on in the week, you may bring that up and go, oh, I see A and B getting very comfortable with each other the other day, a bit of flirtation there. And then they'll play off the back of that and try and introduce that into the show. So it's not really, it's not staged like what people think it is.
Yeah.
These are situations that happen, and then they just bring it to the table and like sort of maybe sugarcoat it a little bit, shall we say, and like try and bring it to air. Yeah.
But then there are some things that then they can't show. For example, obviously with the stuff that happened in Newcastle, there were rumours going around about you and Diags and things like that. Are there points where they just kind of go, nah, can't do that, move on? Like, what happens in those situations?
If there's not a camera in front of you while things happen, or there's not a relevant situation to that, so like something could happen, but if they didn't think it could last over a few episodes, they will just cut it. It's there's no point airing something if they know it's not going to have a domino effect on lead on to other things. So yeah, some things that you think are going to be great for the show don't make it. Some things that you wouldn't think make it, make it. You don't know until you watch the episode yourself. So I'm guessing just as much as you are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, except you have the slight more knowledge because you've been on it.
Yeah, exactly.
do you know who's
definitely wrong?
Do you know anyone who's definitely back for the next series?
Definitely back. So I think you've got, I don't know for sure, but I could pretty much guarantee most of the big characters are going to be back.
Okay.
But I think you're going to see a few new characters that will potentially cause sparks and wandering eyes, maybe. So, but I can't guarantee you who will be and who won't be, because, like I said, like it's all Chinese whispers and you don't know facts from fiction.
Yeah, of course.
You actually start watching it. So yeah, I'm out of the loop just as much as you, but I've got inklings of what I think might happen.
So is it possible for you to kind of get a phone call mid-series being like, oh, can we just come and film you tomorrow? Or is that kind of like, is it series
by
series?
Yeah, I mean, they said that to me the other week. They said, like, you're definitely not... Like, the people that get axed, I know that's a horrible word to say, axed, it's like never really bridges burn. I mean, I know a few people have made, like, guest appearances and turn up mid-show, and you haven't seen them on the screen for ages, and you think, well, hold on a minute, where have they come from? It's not uncommon. If they can relate to something, or they think that it might be good for the show, they will definitely bring people back, yeah.
And I've got to ask, were you shocked by anyone who was axed or kind of, you know, mutually decided to part ways with the show? I'm thinking more along
consciously
the lines
uncoupled.
Of, yeah, consciously uncoupled with Towie. I'm thinking more along the lines of, like, Cadia and Miles and bigger characters. Were you shocked by anyone who was kind of named in this cult?
I'm not shocked that Katie and Miles have gone, to be honest, because Katie came into the last series very late in the game, and I don't think she really bonded well with many of the girls. Now, if she's just got Miles to back her own corner, and like I said, it all depends what goes on off the show that comes on the show. So if she's not in the circle of girls, shall we say, going out and about and partying or whatever, shopping with the girls, she's got no avenue to bring anything to the table, i.e. filming, because nothing's coming off-screen.
Yeah.
There needs to be something happening off-screen for it to come to the table. So, yeah, I'm not shocked that them two have gone. I think they're quite happy and content in what they're doing. And, to be fair, I don't think there's many people that have been axed that are really like, oh, my God, I can't believe it, like, I'm distraught about it. It's just one of them things. It's the industry, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Very ruthless.
yes, I can completely see that. So what have you got coming up? You've got this club, anything else?
Yeah, so I've got the club. So obviously I'm a qualified electrician, so that's what I do. That's my 9 to 5, should we say. So busy doing stuff like that. Got the PR company focusing very much on the club that should be open at some point this year. And that's it, really. Just sort of...
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, just trying to get fingers in pies and take every day as it comes.
Awesome.
I'm assuming you're going to have a big launch party for the club.
Yep, there'll be a massive launch party. All the Towie lot will be there.
Will Diags be there?
Yeah, I'm not actually the one that had the issue with Diags. That was John Clark. he was the one. So me and Mark Diags, we're good friends. There's not any animosity with me. So he would definitely be there, yeah.
Is there anyone that you won't be inviting?
No, listen, like, I don't hold a grudge. Like, they're more than merry. They're all welcome. So, yeah, no, there's not anyone that I wouldn't be inviting. Good there time. May be a few people that wouldn't want other people to be there, but if they choose to come or not to come, then that's entirely up to them.
Yeah, that's on them.
Got it. Well, Dean, thank you so much for speaking to us today. Really appreciate
it. You're more than welcome. Thank you.
And good luck with it all. Hope it goes well.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. What a nice chap.
Lovely.
Shall we play a bit of Camilla Cabello?
Yes, okay.
And then we'll get, I believe, our second guest Jean has just arrived. So let's get on and speak to her. Hey.
Traffic jam, man. I was quick to pay that girl like Uncle Sam. Here you go, ayy. Take it on me, ayy. Shawty craving on me, get the bacon on me. She waited on me, damn. Shawty caking on me, got the bacon on me. This is history and I'm making homie. Point blank, close range, that thing. If it goes a million, that's me. It's me. I was getting moolah, baby.
Havana, ooh, nah, nah. Hey. Half of my heart.
Radio presents.
Ian Boltsworth.
Douglas Booth's coming in. Didn't you play Boy George?
He's great. I have nothing but love for him. He always extremely generous to me in that whole process. Only have good things to say.
Can you make some up?
Yeah.
I don't like that he kills cats.
He doesn't under, kill cats.
Under cover of darkness. He's the famous Clapham cat killer.
The Clapham cat killer.
Wasn't there that real thing where cats were being mutilated and then they realised it was actually just one rogue
and
fox?
And it was Boy George.
Yeah, and they realised it was Boy George.
Every Monday.
Ian Boltsworth.
From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
days they come and go, like your words that once rang true, just like the love I thought I found in you. And I remember the thunder talking about the fire in your eyes, but you walked away when I needed you most. Now maybe, 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 maybe I found someone to take away the heartache, to take away the loneliness I've been feeling since you've been gone, since you've been gone. Dry your eyes, I never could bear to see you cry. Show you the feelings if you never really knew. Baby, don't you lose that thunder talking about the fire in your eyes. You're looking at me, but you still don't believe that maybe, 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 maybe I found someone to take away.
For this song, but I'm sorry, I love Cher. What can I say? I'm not going to apologise for it.
Yeah, don't deny.
We have our next guest, the very gorgeous Jean Johansson, in.
Hi, guys.
How are you? Oh, did I say it wrong then? Johansson.
No, you can say Johansson.
Johansson.
And don't ever apologise for playing Cher.
Good.
It's exactly. Always allowed.
I'm glad you agree. Now, you were just saying you are back from a recent trip. You are on A Place in the Sun, which we're all furiously
so
jealous about.
I know.
So
it is like the best job in telly, and I'm just back from 12 days in Gran Canaria. And I got so much abuse on social media from people in Scotland because it's like snowing,
freezing.
Really cold, yeah. Freezing, and I'm posting pics of myself at beach clubs, you know, sangrias by the
sea. Is it really like that when you're filming?
It's not. It's really long filming days. But once we wrap, you know, it's a small team, and I'm really quite close with the crew now. So, yeah, we go out and have a sangria or two after.
I bet.
And even
not
the house hunters as well. I had house hunters from Scotland. So they were encouraging me to get out and about with them in Gran Canaria, which is a bit naughty. But
you got to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the more I know about them, the easier it is for me to find them a property. So
yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, so explain a bit about how you get involved with a show like that. Are you a property expert? Mm. Or do you develop that as you're doing it, kind of thing?
A bit of both, actually. I am a bit of a property expert just because I've moved so many times. You know, my husband was a professional footballer, mm-hmm. and we moved to lots of different clubs and lived in lots of different places. And I wish I'd had a person like me from the club, that someone that knows me, knows my, you know, life story, knows who we are as people, all the things I find out on A Place in the Sun. If someone had known that about me, they'd have helped me find properties along the way. Mm-hmm. Instead, I sort of had to go out there, make all the mistakes, you know, spend a lot of time, which you should do. You have to be thorough. So my expertise has really grown over the years, and it's great to pass that on to people that are in the same position that I was in, you know, whether they're moving permanently or just trying to find a holiday home.
Yeah, it's obviously very popular at the minute for these kind of shows, aren't they? There's a lot of property shows where they're buying, you know, like a location, or the is it Place Down Under?
Place Down Under.
There are lots. Why do you think they're so popular?
It's just a dream, isn't it? Is it not something we all want to do? Have that little place on the beach, and it's attainable. You know, I have people with budgets of £70,000, and I can find them a 3-bedroom for that in some parts of Spain.
Not in London, you can't.
You can't get a parking space for that money in London. So I think that's the appeal. You're sat at home on your sofa and thinking, should we do that? Should we, you know, that those savings we've got, or, you know, that bit of money we came into? I think people can really relate to that. And apart from that, it's just like being nosy and looking in other people's houses, don't they?
That is very true.
We all love that.
Oh my God, it's like one of my favourite things to do with that.
It's the best. I get to go in and actually be in the rooms, you know, and see how people live. So yeah, it's great.
Somehow I don't think it would work the other way around. You know, like from Australia to Spain, like, oh, well, let's get a place in England. Lovely and warm.
That's true.
That would be an interesting show, wouldn't it? Come up to Scotland, just leave Melbourne and the beach and just hang out in Glasgow city centre where it's freezing. Yeah, I think there'd be a lot of comedy in that. So good idea for a show.
The alternative version. Exactly. You get to go to the big Primark on Oxford Street or something.
Fabulous.
Have £1 million spare. For
have either of you got properties abroad or your family?
I don't have a property even in this country, so unfortunately.
I actually had one couple that don't have a property in the UK, they just rent. Mm-hmm. So this money they did have, they used it to get a place in Spain, which
really?
I think is great, because, you know, if you're maybe struggling a little bit, life in the UK, you know, making ends meet, how amazing in the summers and the holidays to just go out to your place that you own and just relax and chill out.
Do you know what you should do, though? Make really good friends to all of them, and then you're just going to have so many places to go and stay abroad.
I've got places in Costa del Sol, Costa Brava, Gran Canaria. So,
do you remember when I helped you?
Exactly. Totally. But I've had some really good house hunters, and there's like tears and laughter and loads of emotion. You know, you never know anyone's story. And as filming goes on, you find out more about them. Mm. Yeah. Sometimes people are getting away from something. Sometimes it's new relationships that want to start afresh. Sometimes it's just someone going on an adventure, and being part of that is just brilliant.
I bet.
You know,
I did really see, good. I saw recently, actually, there was a programme, I believe it was on ITV, where it was my 10 grand holiday home or something. And it was about all the places you can buy holiday homes for £10,000. And Julia Bradbury bought one in a small village in Portugal, which was amazing. She bought it for something like £3,000.
One of those cave houses?
No. It was a proper house, but it needed renovation. But she managed to do it all for under £10,000.
That's amazing. That will be a challenge. If I get a couple on A Place in the Sun with a £10,000 budget, I'm going to do it. I'll find them a place.
So with A Place in the Sun, is the location picked beforehand?
It's picked by the house hunters.
Right, okay, fine.
Yeah, so it's wherever they want to go. So I did a lot of south of Spain last year, and the Canaries just there. So I'm hoping to get a bit more France than Italy this year. Mm-hmm. You know, just speak a bit of French as well. So that'll be nice to converse
bit
with the
practice.
Locals. Yeah, a little bit of Francais.
Are you well versed in French property law?
Yeah. Of course.
Well, because obviously at the minute people will be concerned about buying Brexit, holiday homes because of Brexit.
Yeah, at the moment it's just business as usual on A Place in the Sun. Yeah, and you know, we're all in the same position. Nobody knows what's going to happen until the 29th of March. If it happens on the 29th of March, so we kind of have to cross that bridge when we come to it.
But yeah, I imagine it just end up meaning more paperwork or something, wouldn't it? It's...
I hope not, but yeah, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, interesting times.
I've got to ask, completely off topic, you obviously speak French. You started out as a weather girl, so I'm told, and now you're doing property. How do you go from kind of like...
Well, I've had such a varied career. I started as a children's TV presenter, So yeah, that gave me a lot of live experience, and that's where I really sort of, you know, earned my chops as a presenter. Yeah. Live telly every day is just the best, you know, and what you guys do every day being live is just the best training you can have. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, presenting started changing. You needed to have a something else. So I went back to university and did my broadcast journalism, and then I really wanted to get in the newsroom, and the only position that was available was Weather Girl, so I totally fell into it.
You're like, I'll do it.
It was a really good job just for being able to be myself every day and learning loads of technical stuff about graphics and just new skills. And every job I go on, there's skills that I can take to the next job. Then obviously all the travelling with my husband, just I really wanted to be involved in property or renovation because I've done a big renovation at my home in Scotland. So the presenting and the properties married for a place in the sun, and then travel, which is my favourite thing in the world. Yeah. So I'm feeling very lucky right now.
I mean,
we hate you right now.
It's not all glamorous. My show Animal Park is coming back to BBC soon, and I'll be down at Longleat in Wiltshire in the dark with the camels and cows, you know, and loads of mud, freezing cold. So, you know, it's not all glamorous.
But that also has its own kind of fun, right?
Oh, like, God. Animal Park is just the best show work on. Like, I am working with elephants, gorillas, you know, loads of small animals, bats, pythons. You know, it's amazing. It's a brilliant show to work on. And, you know, they say never work with animal and kids. I've done both.
And enjoyed them both.
I love the surprises that it throws up. So, yeah, again, I'm feeling very lucky.
What's kind of the plan for you long term? What are you thinking you want to do? Stay on Place in the Sun?
I will stay on Place in the Sun for as long as they'll have me. I like daily lives, what you guys do. And you know how it is. It's the buzz. Talking to people is really my skill, you know, more than presenting or anything else. It's I like people, I like to chat, and any job that involves that is great for me. The one show this morning, sitting on a sofa every day, just like my idol Lorraine Kelly, chatting to folk, finding out their business, getting the gossip. It is a dream job for me. So all in good time. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be at this point in my career, and that feels great.
Wow.
Oh, it's lovely to meet someone with such a positive
attitude.
Yeah, that
is true. You don't often get it these days.
No, I'm an annoyingly positive person.
If we spend too much more time with you, maybe
you'd
we'd
be kicking me out in a minute.
Would you ever do one of those kind of, would you do Strictly or something like that if the offer came
up? Strictly's a dream, of course. You know, I can kick my height, so it'd be good to learn a skill. I did Celebrity MasterChef last year, and that was terrifying.
Oh, did you?
Terrifying.
I can imagine that they are quite terrifying, those judges. Do you know, I've never actually watched it, but John Turode and Greg Wallace, I've interviewed both of them, and they are quite terrifying.
How did you find them?
Greg is...
carefully.
Unusual. He's an unusual character. Whereas I found John Turow quite intense almost.
They're serious about the show, you know, and I think on a lot of these reality shows, things get mocked up or cheated. There's none of that on MasterChef.
Right.
What you see is what you get. You know, that time pressure, the tears, the things going wrong. And John and Greg are there to support you, but they can't help you. They can't do the cooking for you. You know what I mean?
And they can't really even give you advice, can they?
But yeah, as the competition goes on, it gets harder and harder. So that was my first ever sort of reality thing that I'd done. And I really enjoyed it because it was no script and I just got to be myself. Being with the other celebrities was a bit of a challenge. You know, there's a lot of egos and a bit of a hierarchy. And I think I walked in, they're all like, "Who's she?" I'm like, "Hi." But it was fun. So yeah, who knows? Dancing on Ice, Strictly, Celeb Jungle. Who knows?
Something
what's
that
out
comes
there
your way.
Me. Something that's going to give me a challenge.
Okay.
So you would still do Dancing on Ice despite the injuries that occur.
Gemma's face plank has given me the fear.
Yeah.
I mean,
the fear.
That is the one where it, you know, there's a big risk there. But if you train properly, I think you minimise that risk. And I'd be one of those people who was on the rink 8 hours a day. You have to be, or what's the point in doing it? Yeah. But I enjoy watching it.
Oh, yeah.
I bet. So, Jean, is the Place of the Sun on at the moment? Yeah.
It's on at the moment. It's on every day. Place in the Sun's like always
constant.
On.
Constant. Constant. Where can we catch it if we want to have a watch?
Channel 4, 3 or 4 p.m. You can always get it on catch up. I don't know when my episodes will be out, but you'll see my wee face at some point. So just keep watching the whole series and then you'll come by me.
Awesome. And where can we find you on social media?
At Jean Johansson.
Easy enough.
Easy.
So good seeing you guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming in. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
your phone and raise that number, don't call him back, 'cause he don't deserve that. And when you see him in the club, just flip your hair, don't show him.
The chat had already started and I couldn't hear what was going on. We have our final guest in, the very lovely Aaron Sidwell. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
We were just having a little chat about Wicked, which you have appeared in.
Just finished.
How did you find that? Like, it was touring, right?
Yeah.
How did you find that? I can imagine that is intense.
Yeah, touring's not... It's not the one. Especially
how many dates did you do?
We do 15 months.
And is it like twice a day as well, some days?
So we did 8 shows a week, but then on certain weeks we do 9, which is a bit Groundhog Day-esque. You just kind of feel like you're just going and going and going and going and same thing every day.
Did you learn anything from it though? Not to do it again.
No. I learned that touring's maybe behind me now.
Got
at
it.
30.
Take
lesson done.
Yeah. I kind of learned that. But, oh my God, yeah. Like, you know, you're always improving, hopefully, when you're doing something like that, because there's a real art. I mean, I'd never done a takeover show at any of the creative stuff. So there was a lot to learn in that, and kind of making something my own that had existed for 15 years is a huge challenge.
Definitely. So
I learned
something.
A lot.
Most people will probably recognise you from EastEnders.
Yeah.
That was a little, what was it, 3 years ago now?
No, that was about 18 months ago I left.
Okay.
So
okay.
It was literally just before I went into Wicked.
Got it.
But it sort of spanned 10 years. So
How is theatre different to... Because I imagine they're both, in a way, quite hard, heavy, intense work that you have to get done quickly.
Yeah, I mean, theatre's more of a physical, mental discipline than sort of working in TV. But once you've learnt your show, you've learnt it. You know, I wasn't in rehearsing all day. I wasn't going home and poring over scripts. When you're doing a soap and when you're busy in a soap, it is just, there's nothing like it. I mean, you are just constantly working. I would go home at 8 o'clock, having been in at 5 a.m. and would eat, go to the gym, straight over scripts, and then get like 4 hours sleep and go and do it all over again. So it was mental.
Grueling. So basically, your career is full of very intense, hard.
Yeah.
But then also with soaps, right? I imagine you're not always in major storylines, are you?
Exactly. So it's, you know, you're either full on or you're non-existent. You know, there was like weeks and weeks and weeks where I just wouldn't even go to the studio.
Yeah.
Which sounds great, but when you're sort of a 28-year-old, you know, really ambitious actor, as I was at that time.
Lost the ambition now.
It was great for sort of like my life with my kids, but my partner was still in theatre, so she was still kind of on that schedule, and I was on a different schedule. And in terms of my personal life, it was great to see people. Whereas touring, just, you know, I went 15 months without seeing anybody but my mum and my partner and my kids. But it certainly took a toll in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It was like everything has its own challenge.
Yeah. Were you sad to say goodbye to it?
I was sad, really, really sad to say goodbye to the people.
Mm.
It felt quite poetic in a way that it was literally, I started in July 2017, and I finished in July 2000. Sorry, I started 2007, yeah. Finished July 2017. It was literally 10 years. That felt quite like bookmarked. It was a really nice thing to do. But as with any job, when you've been there for long enough, you know you don't always necessarily miss the work. Mm. You miss the people, mm-hmm. and you miss the environment that you're leaving behind.
Yeah.
And certainly when you do something like that, it's very institutionalized kind of way it has at Boreham Wood, where it just sort of engulfs you in that life. You step back out into the unknown again, and it can be scary, I think.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
You were lucky enough then, I guess, to have Wicked to go straight into.
I went straight into it, yeah. I'd met that team like 4 years beforehand, and we came really close to doing it then. So it was, you know, the phone call kind of came, and I was like, yeah, actually that's quite a good thing to go and do straight after this. And it was just nice to kind of, they'd known me for 4 years, it was nice to finally work with them. I mean, the casting director of Wicked has been seeing me since I was 18 years old, so it was nice to again sort of like just get the phone call straight away from them. It's like, oh, I haven't been forgotten.
Well, that must be a bit of a fear when you're an actor, right?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, you know you never know where your next job's coming from, and I think that fear can sort of overwhelm people. I try to use it as sort of the stick to the carrot, you know. I know what I want to do, and if I don't get up and make stuff happen, sometimes it just won't. Mm-hmm. So like, it's quite good in a way to have that fear always inside you.
Yeah. And when you left EastEnders, you reported saying that it was like a negative experience, like when you first left. Is mm-hmm. that something that you still feel, or has your opinion changed a lot since then?
I feel like the time that I was at EastEnders, yeah, there certainly was a negative feel around the show. I think that it had a really big, particularly my family, the Beals had been huge during the lives, and had the whole Who Killed Lucy thing that sort of just really captured the nation.
Yeah.
And I felt that the fallout of that is where I kind of came back into the show with Jackie, and we certainly were just like, oh, this isn't quite what it used to be, and the reception that we got was great. And I came in to a producer that was walking out, and Dominic had brought me in as an 18-year-old. So it was a kind of a final thing for him to do, was like, right, and I'm going to bring Aaron back just before I walk out of the door. So it was just, it was a well-reported sort of turmoil for the show during that time. Obviously, then Sean O'Connor came in and wanted to implement his own ideas, and they didn't really take with the public. So there was a lot of negativity around that. And it just felt like everything we were trying to do was sort of constantly met by a huge level of resistance. Whether it was, you know, the episodes that were supposed to, that I left on were supposed to be a million times bigger than they were. And, you know, stuff just sort of happened. We had a terrorist attack that happened that meant that we couldn't go in as hard as we wanted to go in, because mm-hmm. people were, you know, quite vulnerable, and Grenfell happened. And so we had to be careful with the fire, and everything that was supposed to be wasn't. Mm-hmm. My love for the show as well, just, you know, it was where my career began. I've kind of wanted it to be more at that time than it was. And so there was huge disappointment, but there was a lot of negativity around the show at that time.
Yeah, I think now they've got Kate Oates, haven't they?
Who's brilliant.
Who came over from Emmerdale.
And has a real kind of embedded history in the show, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, I think she's already sort of making moves to correct some things that had happened and that
it's
shouldn't
difficult.
Have happened.
I think it's difficult with like dramas that are continuing for as long as they have to keep up the level of interest and storylines and
tough.
Stuff. Yeah, really tough. So what are you up to now?
Yeah, what's next?
You're out of Wicked.
Yeah, I'm sort of, I'm taking a little bit of time at the moment. And that kind of sounds like an actor that's out of work, but I genuinely am, just taking a bit of time. Since my youngest was 7 in January, and as she was approaching 7, I kind of realised that I hadn't actually stopped since she was born, because I was like, oh, I started that show when she was born, and that led into that, and that led into that, and that led into... So I was always kind of chasing something, and fundamentally it was getting the money to buy my house, and I bought my house. Mm-hmm. So I was, and then I went straight on tour. So I was like, you know what? I kind of want to live in my house for a bit.
Well, now you can get a nice kitchen and a nice new
bathroom. So I'm taking a bit of time to sort of live in my house and
be human.
And just, you know, and just be, you know, pick my kids up from school and do all the normal stuff. That's my kind of main focus. But naturally, like, stuff is already kind of coming up that I'm kind of going, oh yeah, I want to do that.
Temptation.
Can you talk about it?
No, not yet.
Nothing official.
Really cool, but it will be on stage and it won't be a musical. So
okay.
That's kind of where I'm leaning towards.
Yeah, because you did American Idiot as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
How was that experience?
Like, just the most fulfilling, rewarding experience, I think, of my life
really?
As an actor. Yeah.
Wow.
Everything I put in, I got out, which is very rare.
Mm.
And I put a lot in. So to get as much out of it as I felt I did was amazing. And the temptation has always been to do it again.
Is it still on?
It went on tour. So I had a phone call from the production team last March, kind of going, in January, do you want to do American Idiot again?
Give me some time off!
Oh, God. And I really, really, really debated it long and hard. And I knew that, I think my partner would kill me, and if I went straight out, it would have been like I'd have had 5 days at home in London rehearsing, and then I'd have been straight out on tour again. So I kind of knew she would kill me, and that my kids would kill me, and that.
So it was a no.
But it's always there, and I'm kind of like, oh, but I really want to do it again. But I think I know I've done it, and I knew what it took out of me.
Yeah.
So I don't know quite that I've got that back yet in order to go again.
Fair enough. Well, honestly, Aaron, I could speak to you all night, but sadly
we
have run
Time's
out
up.
Of time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Me.
And Ellie, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Coming
been,
in and being Lizzie Cundy for the evening.
Bit of Scouse of the House.
Scouse of the House, I like it. And to celebrate that, we're going to play a bit of your favourite artist, Pink.
Woohoo!
To play us out. We'll be back next week with another episode of Access All Areas. I don't know who's coming in as guest, but we'll find out soon enough. Thanks so much, everyone.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.